Mini episode 1860 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 2025 AFC West preview on the FDH Lounge. You have with you here today FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Chris Galloway, original FDH Lounge dignitaries at that. And for anyone that is checking out the segment via video, feast your eyes here. This is a little bit of a hint as to a stealth playoff team that I am picking for this year. I'm going to give everybody a chance to bask in the whole visual clues here. Chris actually took himself off screen for a second just to give me a further chance to kind of display that. So, Chris, I know that you must feel like your eyes are deceiving you, but your thoughts before we get started on seeing the visual cue here.
Absolutely horrifying.
I'm going to make a case for it. I'm going to make a convincing case for it as we go.
All right, I want to hear the case. Give me the
case. Okay. All right. All right. Well, and you've just set me up here beautifully, as you always do, to announce that the framework for this, coming as always from Fantasy Football Draftology 2025, available on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com, specifically page 17, one run-on sentence for each AFC team. The AFC West, this is the predicted order of finish, and I am picking three playoff teams out of this division, such like we saw a year ago. So let's take them in my predicted order of finish. Kansas City, after a Super Bowl hangover season that nonetheless saw the team win ugly repeatedly and make it to within a game of an unprecedented Super Bowl three-peat, the air of inevitability is gone, which is bad for them, but so too is the rampant half-speed complacency of 2024, which is good for them. LA Chargers, for the first time in recent memory, this is no longer a Stars and Scrubs team, which means that the high ceiling that pundits have mistakenly put on them for years is finally valid. Las Vegas. We said that this team was a nightmare on both sides of the ball a year ago, and we were right, which should make the following observation even more shocking. Even quieter than New England's rapid rebuild is this reconstruction, which is no mirage in the desert, but a legit playoff contender with dangerous weapons on both sides of the ball. Denver. Pundits who paint with a broad brush label teams like this as an automatic regression candidate because of their rapid rise in 2024, and they may feel an entirely unjustified sense of vindication at season's end because any slide from the Broncos will probably mostly be from being in the wrong place at the wrong time in what may now be football's toughest division. And I actually think it is this football's toughest division right now. I'm not even going to qualify this after what we've seen in training camp thus far here. But, Chris, there's my case for who I think is going to be the third team making it to the playoffs here from this division. And like I said, I buried them a year ago, and I think you thought I was a little too harsh a year ago, and I was right. So, again, it's a massive jump that I'm forecasting, but they had a massive offseason. And I'm not saying that Geno Smith is necessarily the end-all, be-all, but we've seen him be in there to steward a team that's good enough around him. We've seen it previously. You've got a guy who's on a short list for the best running back in football, probably already as a rookie, is Ashton Jeanty. Brock Bowers, hands down, already the best tight end in football. Weapons on both sides of the ball. Vegas is for real. You heard it here first, baby.
It's a bold prediction.
We'll see if it pays off, Cotton.
Yeah, let's see. You used to get to pay extra for that. Well, like you, until somebody knocks off Andy Reid and the Chiefs, you got to pencil them in first place. I don't think that the Broncos are some sort of a mirage, though.
No. Wrong place, wrong time to me, though.
Yeah, I think they showed last year that they are the second best team in that division. I in this offseason, I really wanted to say, hey, the Chargers are going to make that Harbaugh jump. But, losing Slater at left tackle,
That's going to hurt.
they didn't improve enough at wide receiver. How did they get better on defense? Like, am I missing something?
Well, I'm looking at their remaining holes, and by the way, I would now attach offensive tackle to this, but really, tight end and cornerback were the only concerns I had coming into training camp here. Now again, it may be a matter of whether it's somebody that's just good enough not to be considered a hole in my estimation. But I mean, I'm used to looking at this team and seeing six, seven spots here and just seeing like a glorified version of the Miami Dolphins, and I'm not seeing that anymore.
You think they're a little better on the roster? I just didn't see the big jump, right? Like I don't know, maybe it's me. I just didn't feel like that there was a big jump in terms of roster quality for this team. They're going to rely on Becton. Are they pushing him back outside? Can he stay healthy? I think their offensive line could just unravel them this year. Yes, I don't like their secondary. Tight end is a question mark. The line now, to me, depth is really problematic. I think the Chargers, I agree with you that I think that the Raiders are going to be much better. We both buried them last year. We were right. They're way better now, at least on paper, and they have a damn good coach, right? Who should help the culture. They have a quarterback who's steady but not spectacular. But I see the Raiders winning some games, being dangerous. They'll win one of those games against Kansas City. They'll win one against the Broncos, right? But I still see them as sort of a 7-8 win team. I don't see them yet as ready to break through the way you do. The Chargers feel to me like they're probably like a 9-win team because of Harbaugh and the coaching, and they'll be tough. But I am worried about that secondary, and I am worried about that offensive line and not having enough talent on the outside. I think Denver's got a lot more talent on that roster than you're giving them credit for. And the Chiefs are, it was probably Travis Kelce's last year. The Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs, and they'll somehow figure it out. Although I do wonder if they can win as many games as they did last year by the skin of their teeth. That may catch up with them, and the record is not as stellar. But until somebody beats them, they're the class of that division. So I agree with you. I think it's, I mean, them and the A and them, the NFC North and the NFC West are the toughest three divisions in football. But I wonder how much cannibalism is in there on their records, kind of in the same way you gave the Texans a big boost.
The
I
opposite,
wonder
yeah.
if these four teams cannibalize each other a lot way the end of the AFC Central had done for years. And even though they're better teams, the records don't reflect that.
Yeah, and that's where I don't think Kansas City is going to get the number one seed this year. As far as what I think about Denver's roster, I will say this: the only needs that I have for them, so I'm pretty complimentary, tight end, inside linebacker, defensive tackle. So I don't have them as having a lot of needs at this point in time. It is one of those things where am I yet a believer? I think that it's still a bit of an open question. I'm not quite as sold yet automatically. I mean, I obviously have a better sense of what's going on there, but what do you think there?
I'm not a what was the old Nixon's Nix is not my man. I don't I'm not, you know, I'm not there. I'm like you. I need to see it again
Right.
before, and then I wonder how much of it is his coach. But again, that doesn't matter, right? If he's getting it done because of the coaching, well then good on the Broncos for getting the coaching right.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I question the coaching.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, I wasn't convinced that he was gonna turn that team around. And the first, what, 6 weeks or so last year, it certainly looked like I was gonna be right.
Right.
They did not look very good coming out of the gate.
No.
But they got stronger as the year went on. And so, you know, that's a tip of the cap to the coaching. But I'm like you, I need to see another season out of Bo Nix before I believe that. You know, he is not yet a top 10 quarterback or anything like that. So, you know, we need to see it this year. Does he continue to improve it or does he backslide?
Yeah, and I have to give a little bit of a mea culpa also for something I had said on the show last year as far as Sean Payton and the start that he'd gotten off to in Denver. When I said that he had been eclipsed as the star in his family by his smoke show daughter Megan on FanDuel TV a year ago, I was premature in that. Megan is still working her way up the ladder. Sean Payton is still the alpha of the Payton family. No mean feat. By the way, when you factor in the smoke show daughter, but Sean Payton is still in the
I don't
driver's seat
know
there.
anything about it back, but
Okay.
I thought that he was going to get exposed as perhaps not as good a coach as we all were led to believe he was when he didn't have Drew Brees. But
That's another way of saying what I said, but yes, but he's proving us wrong.
I
And
don't feel
so.
like those are the same things, but okay. But again, they started off, they didn't look great, but they got better as the year went on. At the end, they were a team nobody wanted to play. So I, you know,
Yeah.
like I said, that's kudos to Sean and his staff.
Yeah.
There's
Well,
no
it,
reason to
but
think that that doesn't carry forward and they're not competing for the division title.
yeah, and by the way, and again, part of this has been the fall off of the AFC in the last year or two, but you talk about a team nobody wanted to play until the playoffs. I mean, Denver makes the playoffs. Pittsburgh makes the playoffs. This whole thing, the NFL money grab of going to seven teams in the playoffs, why does it feel like they went from six teams to 10 teams in the playoffs with so many of these crappy first round games here? Like, Denver was a nice story last year. I don't
Easy.
need,
They're not
I don't need,
the NHL where everybody makes the playoffs.
but I don't need to see Denver in the playoffs. I don't need to see Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I don't need to see foregone conclusion teams in the first round of the playoffs, Chris. Now, the NHL, they had a couple of them this year. Montreal certainly was.
Newsflash,
Ottawa.
everybody. Rick wants to turn the NFL into the BCS model. I want the top four teams. That's all I want. Four teams.
A plus one. Yeah, can we do a plus one? That's my college football take. But another take that I have for this division, I will reference back once again to Fantasy Football Draftology 2025. Top 10 NFL players on the spot this year. Number one on the list. And he was number one, and this was written even before he recently made the no shiznit Sherlock declaration that, you know, I wasn't necessarily in the best of shape last year. Number one on the list, the top player in the league on the spot in 2025 is Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce, a fellow denizen of America's North Coast like you and I. Here's what I had to say about that. The effects of aging cannot be reversed. The effects of partying and conditioning can be reversed. If Mr. Swift's slowdown over the past two seasons is attributable to the latter factor and it is addressed, then the Chiefs may well be the favorites for a fourth consecutive AFC championship if they have back even 90% of arguably the greatest tight end of all time. Without that dynamic, then even this Patrick Mahomes-led offense may just be very good, but not great. I don't think we can overstate how much is on the line here. The way that this guy has slid the last 2 years, and the trickle down effects on the Kansas City offense here, and the way that they look outright human at times for much of last year. I mean, if Travis Kelce is to be believed, and he's out there, you know, in the shape that he used to be in, like I said, you can't fight Father Time But it's a thing where, again, you can be a guy at that age in very good shape. And again, I think he's the most instrumental player in the league this year as far as determining the ceiling of his team.
Big analysis. I mean, the slide is real. Haven't we just seen an offseason of him with his girlfriend everywhere? I mean,
yeah. How's it any different than the last couple, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of don't know that we're going to see some new refreshed, recommitted Travis Kelce. Again, I'm right. saying this is, I think this is his last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the diminishing physical abilities continues.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the biggest threat to the Chiefs getting replaced at the top of the division. So in that standpoint, you're right. Because he was not good last year.
He really
he was
wasn't.
Not Travis. He was not Travis Kelce.
Right. And if he's worthy of the name Travis Kelce now, I keep coming back to this with different players who should legally have to change their names. If Travis Kelce can legitimately be Travis Kelce again, and I know some people might call this, and again, I'm normally one of these people who's like, prisoner of the moment. You're being prisoner of the moment. I think Kelce's in the conversation for the GOAT among tight ends. I really think so. I'm not necessarily saying that he is, but he's in the conversation. And like I said, if he gets back to even 90% of what that was, whatever, because what was he last year? Like 70%, if that? So, again, I don't know. Unless he's been doing stealth workouts on the road whilst, you know, globetrotting with his girlfriend. Yeah, like you said, there's nothing to suggest publicly that he's going to be a different guy physically this year. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But again, it's all about a matter of ceiling. And again, the ceiling of this guy when he was at his best is, again, I put him up against Travis Kelce at his best. I put him up against any tight end all time. Call me prisoner of the moment, but I would say that.
What is he this year, like 33?
Yeah, I think so.
34, 33, something, 33.
Well, I mean, no one can ever know that for sure. No one can ever be sure what the age is.
Why? Because like the Dominican Republic, birth certificates in Cleveland can't be trusted.
No, I just. All right, so I was more or less stalling for time. Okay, birth date of October 5th, 1989. So my rudimentary grasp of math tells me that he's going to turn 36 during the season.
I was thinking 34, so he's 35 turning 36. Yeah, he's about done. I stand okay. by my statement. This is the last year.
Okay. Well, and you know, arguably last year should have been. And frankly, again, unless he was going to recommit, it should have been. The only reason to come back is if you didn't like the taste in your mouth from what you've shown the last, not just last year, but the year before also too. He hasn't really been
the Super Bowl the way they did, and he looked downright, you know, average at best.
Yeah.
You know, and he had one more. Doesn't he? I mean, he's only got 1 year on his contract. This is the last year on his contract.
Right.
So I'm sure he's looking at it like this is his last chance to, you know, make some dollars.
Yeah.
On that, you know, he is competing with a billionaire girlfriend. So, you know, mm-hmm. he's got to make some money.
Yeah.
So that's my guess is why he's back. Right. He didn't like how it ended. He's got another year on the contract, so he knows he's got that payday, and he's just not mentally ready yet. But I'll tell you what, if they get upset and somebody passes them in the division, he'll bow out.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about the last significant player in the NFL that had a billionaire significant other, good old number 12 there. The best life advice I can give you, Travis, is if she goes to hire an MMA instructor, put your foot down. Do not allow that to happen. That will not end well for you. So, but again,
worry about Tay-Tay taking jiu-jitsu or whatever it's called.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think Giselle spent a little bit more time down on the mat than I think Tom was hoping was going to be the case. But, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out among other things in Kansas City here. And again, as we go into in our next segment, our playoff preview, our early playoff preview for 2025-2026. A little bit of a spoiler here in terms of what I said about Kansas City. I don't think they're getting the number one seed. And I think in a conference where there's a dearth of teams that are plausible for getting it done in the postseason, Buffalo and Baltimore, I'm looking at you, then it could open things up a little bit here. It could get very interesting. Chris, do you kind of agree that Kansas City might have a very, very brutal time getting the number one seed again in this division?
Do. Yeah, okay. I do. I don't see them. What do they have, 14 wins last year?
Yeah.
Do I have that, if my memory is right? I don't see them doing 14 wins again.
And they sleptwalked the 14 wins. I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, yeah, no, it was wild, right? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how that happened.
No.
I don't see that occurring again. But again, I could see them winning 11 or 12, right? They're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed. So I think the Bills end up as the number one seed. So. Okay. I know you're going with the Texans. I think it's the Bills, and I think they make everybody go to Buffalo.
Okay.
In January, if you want to go to the Super Bowl, you got to go through Buffalo.
Well, we'll see.
Teaser, baby.
Okay. All right. You and I are going to be going out on a couple of different, very interesting limbs here. Although interestingly enough, I have a prediction that we may converge largely in the NFC. And if we do so, that'll be in a way that not very many people are anticipating. So there's a little bit of a teaser as well, but coming up next year, it is the culmination. It is part 9 of our preview series for the NFL for 2025. We have gone through all the divisions. Up next, it's our playoff preview on the show. Thank you, as always, to the great Chris Galloway. Thank you all for checking out our 2025 AFC West preview on the FDH Lounge.